Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to be talking about the market's reaction to Tesla's Q4 delivery and production report yesterday. Of course, we do have plenty of other news items to go through then as well. But starting off, looking at the stock, obviously a rough day. Tesla down 12.2%, closing at $108.10 on the day. The NASDAQ, not super relevant today, down 0.75%. So obviously, major sell-off here after the delivery report that we had talked about yesterday, the market not happy with it. The demand concerns that we have been talking about creeping in over the last few months definitely accelerating after this report was published yesterday. So a lot of analyst reactions today, market adjustments in terms of analyst forecasts and expectations. So we'll talk about some of those things here first. We're not going to go through every single analyst note, but I think the Berenstein note here from Tony Sakanagi, who's obviously been bearish on Tesla for a long time, captures just the sentiment of the market right now pretty well. So just the first page of the report here, you can see what the main items that are being discussed are: aggressive price discounting, even with that, Tesla delivery miss, analyst consensus for auto gross margins for Q4 appear too high, significant demand problem, expect demand challenges. So those are kind of the main points right off the bat here. And one thing that I think is going to continue to get even more questioning or more concern over the next few days to a week might be, what is the sustainable level of orders that Tesla was getting this quarter, and how much of this quarter's deliveries were due to deliveries that had been placed earlier in the year that, you know, are being drained through whatever backlog Tesla has accumulated through that period of time. So I want to kind of emphasize that from the Berenstein note here. It says, looking at Tesla's deliveries, they believe that Tesla's book to bill, so basically the deliveries compared to what was ordered this quarter, was likely less than 65% despite those significant price cuts. So basically they're just saying, based on their estimates, they think that only 65% of Tesla's 405,000 vehicles delivered this quarter were actually ordered within the quarter. So what does that mean then for Q1? What does that mean for the rest of 2023? And I think, although that's a more extreme example, I think that is the concern that the market has been having now for quite some time here, you know, over the last few months, as we have seen some signs of weakening demand, particularly in China. And then obviously the implications of this demand pocket that we are probably in Q4 with the questions that remain on the Inflation Reduction Act and EV credits and how that would all be applied. Obviously Tesla taking steps to reduce that impact in terms of a demand pocket this quarter with the discounting that they did at the end of the quarter, but those changes, you know, with only a month or even a week or 2 weeks here for the final move, those changes are only going to have so much impact. Customers are obviously planning significantly ahead for a vehicle purchase in many cases. So the crux of where we're at right now with Tesla is which one of these arguments kind of wins out. Is Tesla's order book too low to where they can't sustain the growth or even the level of deliveries that we're seeing here in Q4? That's the sentiment that seems to be kind of taking over the market right now. Or is that the result of demand pockets caused by COVID in China, the uncertainty around EV tax credits in the United States, obviously some of the recessionary things happening in Europe in terms of energy prices and things like that? There are a lot of reasons there that can explain that, but the market is not looking at those at the moment. They're looking at more of the negative things like, oh, you know, this order book to bill ratio, which is obviously estimates, but those are the things that are causing concerns as we move into next year, because it's very clear now at this point that the market just does not believe in Tesla's growth continuing, at least for this year. And then beyond that, where does Tesla's growth come from after this? Is this the peak for Model 3 and Model Y? And what's the next generation platform? Tesla has talked a little bit about that, but when we were with Model S, we had a pretty clear visibility into Model 3. When we had Model 3, clear visibility to Model Y. Now that we're approaching maybe the end of the growth for Model 3 and Model Y, I'm not saying that specifically, but eventually it'll get there. Now that we're getting closer to that stage, what's the next step for Tesla? And that would be the next generation platform, which Tesla hasn't given us quite as much detail on, just kind of saying, hey, it's Robotaxi platform. And that's obviously at this point not going to give a lot of confidence for analysts to go ahead and put those things in their models right now. So on top of these other questions, even the long-term growth is probably now more in question than ever. So again, that's the crux of it, whether you believe that that is the situation we're in right now with Tesla, where it's the peak and there's no more growth to come, or this is just a period where Tesla has some challenges to work through, they'll work through them and then continue growing. And I definitely fall more into the latter camp, but that is my assessment of how the market is viewing Tesla at the moment. Gary Black posted some helpful information here today, just looking at analyst consensus. So after the report, those have dropped. Earnings estimates for 2023 have dropped 4% from where they were a week ago. You can see down 17% from where they were 3 months ago. So those have dropped significantly, but still up 30% from 12 months ago, which, you know, just perfectly captures how Tesla trades, right? It's they beat these longer term expectations, but unfortunately, the market is so quarter to quarter focused that it, you know, doesn't result in a lot of credit being given. So, as I said, no confidence. That would only be, you know, the estimate here of $5.19 non-GAAP for earnings next year. That's only $1.30 per quarter. That's only 23% above the $1.05 that Tesla earned in Q3. Obviously, that was on 343,000 deliveries. Tesla just delivered 405,000. I think that's like 20% higher. So basically just pricing in no growth from where Tesla is right now. And this is the consensus. So the consensus is dropping. There are probably analysts within there that have not updated. I would assume that any sort of whisper number or more accurate consensus at this point in time, probably actually even lower than that. So that being said, you know, the big question is, where does the growth come from? Can it come from Model 3? Can it come from Model Y? And if not, what is that next generation platform? Eventually we'll come to that, the plateau of Model 3 and Model Y. We've had that same experience with Model S and X, you know, at that 100,000 level. And then fortunately, Tesla was ready to move on to the Model 3. That led to the next stage of growth. During that period of time, there were a lot of analysts questioning, is this the right move for Tesla? Should they be pursuing these lower margin segments? Should they just stick with the Model S and X and just be a niche player at a higher margin level with those vehicles? And I think that's exactly the stage that we're heading into now with Model 3 and the Model Y. Where exactly that happens at, I think is unclear, but Tesla is just going to keep going back to the well and just keep pushing things lower price, higher volume. That is their mission statement. So we're heading into that period of time, but there's not a lot of visibility into that yet. And hopefully we get some of that soon. So the other thing that Tesla announced, in addition to the Q4 delivery and production report, which I didn't actually see when they disclosed this because it was dropping at the same time of the report, they've announced that they will be holding an investor day in March this year. They say this is different from the annual shareholder meeting. They say our investors will be able to see our most advanced production line, as well as discuss long-term expansion plans, Generation 3 platform, capital allocation, and other subjects with our leadership team. So I think that Generation 3 platform being included in there, that's huge. Again, there's not a lot of visibility into that. We've heard Tesla start to talk a little bit more about it, but when we had these same questions creep in on Model S and X, we had clear visibility to what was next. We just don't have that right now. So hopefully this year we start to see some of those questions answered. Not that I think that's going to immediately quell the concerns that the market has. I think those are steeped in right now in terms of the sentiment, so it's going to take some time to move off of that. But hopefully if Tesla can give us more insight on that, I think that will be positive in terms of supporting growth expectations longer term. And I also hope that Tesla, in a way, reads the room a little bit. And although this is supposed to be a dedicated robotaxi platform, my hope is that there is a backup plan for that, and Tesla emphasizes that although it is a dedicated robotaxi platform, if FSD doesn't progress as fast as Tesla expects or hopes, which I think has been the case up to this point, then there is some sort of plan for Tesla to continue growing with this generation of platform, with this platform generation, in the absence of true level 4 or level 5 autonomy. So super excited about that. March, it'll be interesting. I don't know that sentiment is going to be great for an investor day at that point in time, but for those of us that are more longer term focused, I think that's going to be a really important event, and I'm excited about that. All right, moving on to the EV credit. Of course, we talked about this last week. I believe that was on Thursday, so won't rehash any of that, but obviously just a really strange mix of requirements that make certain vehicles eligible for certain levels of credits and certain price thresholds. I just wish everything was more straightforward, more simple. I think it would be a win for consumers and for manufacturers if that were the case, and also government workload, not to mention, but Anyway, if people would like to submit feedback on this, there is still the possibility of doing that. I think these comment sections have been open for a while, but the IRS is still soliciting feedback for those that would wish to submit something. The email for that is pra.comments@irs.gov, and the subject line that you need to mention is OMB control number 1545-2137. If you are watching, you can also see the address there to mail in physical comments as well. So hopefully people will do that. Again, I think, you know, there's benefits here, but unfortunately I think the bureaucracy has won out and special interest groups have won out, and there's a lot of convolution that is making, as Farzad eloquently points out here, a plug-in hybrid Jeep with 20 miles of electric range, as we have talked about going back when we first heard about this plug-in hybrid credit, that's getting a potentially $7,500 EV tax credit, where the up to $80,000, where the Model Y at $56,000 would be eligible for nothing if it were at that price, I'm saying. So it's just unfortunate how things have sort of come to be in this way. I don't think it's incentivizing what it exactly is intending to, so any comments on that would be very welcome. That being said, if this doesn't end up changing, which, you know, hopefully we'll see some changes by the time it gets sort of finalized in March, just wanted to flash back to a reminder here from the Model Y unveiling back in 2019. The pricing here that Tesla had at that point in time, this is sort of the cost structure that Tesla built towards with the Model Y. They had it starting at $39,000 for a 230-mile standard range vehicle, $47,000 for a long range, $51,000 for a dual motor all-wheel drive vehicle. So those would all be under the $55,000 cap that we see on the five-seat version of the Model Y right now. Obviously, prices, cost of goods have increased since then pretty significantly, but, you know, there's a lot of room there at that lower range, and certainly Tesla can play in that area. It will make it more difficult for them to sell at the, you know, the higher price trims and things like that, but there is still potential here for the Model Y below that $55,000 price if that does indeed end up being what it is. And then of course you've got the seven-seater, which hopefully eligible up to $80,000. Again, you know, convoluted and makes things really annoying for customers, for manufacturers and everything else, but you know, there is still that's a possibility, I guess. So I think it's just a good reminder, and this is kind of before Giga Texas was certainly in production. Maybe it was in mind at that point, but not probably factored into where Tesla was thinking about pricing at that point in time. So hopefully that improves the cost structure pretty significantly too, as Giga Texas gets ramped up and 4680s as well. So speaking of that, Drive Tesla Canada here updating us on the Model Y standard range reappearing in the website source code for Tesla. Doesn't necessarily mean that anything is imminent with that. I think if we do see the standard range, or the, I guess they just call it like the Model Y now, if we do see that reappear, then that would potentially, I think probably what Tesla would do, since, you know, we just heard that 4680 pack production is 1,000 per week, or cell production rather is 1,000 per week. I think what Tesla would probably do, rather than have an order design studio for that, they'd probably just reintroduce it into inventory like we saw them briefly do earlier this year. I think that would be probably the initial step, but we'll see. I think Tesla's taking all this IRS information, the guidance in, and trying to figure out what they should be doing with their entire lineup here in the United States, as this, you know, probably wasn't necessarily what Tesla expected. So now they're probably looking at their options and figuring out what to do across the entire lineup. All right, next up here, we've got a report from Reuters. They are noting something that we've talked quite a few times about now, so it shouldn't be too big of a surprise, but they're reporting that Tom Zhu has been reported, or has been promoted, to take direct oversight of the U.S. assembly plants as well as sales in North America and Europe. So pretty similar to a president of automotive type of title there. They don't say the exact title, but this would be in addition to his title as vice president for Greater China and his responsibilities for sales for the rest of Asia. So obviously with him having been over helping out Fremont, now moving over to Giga Texas, shouldn't be too surprising in addition to some of the other reports that we've had, but we do look to now, from Reuters' report here, have some more solid confirmation of, you know, what his exact role is, which would pretty much put him just below Elon in terms of the automotive business. So interesting to see that. Maybe we'll hear Tesla talk a little bit more about that on the Q4 call here in about 3 weeks. Next year, an interesting update here that is pretty impressive. You know, it's an unfortunate circumstance to have something impressive occur in, but this Tesla here that we can see fell 250 feet off of a cliff. There were four passengers in the vehicle, all survived. There were two adults, two children. The adults sustained injuries that were initially described as moderate. The two children apparently were not injured. So this is pretty miraculous. You know, as Cal Fire PD here said, that they viewed this as nothing short of a miracle that all occupants survived in this case. There was a tweet here from one of the first responders saying that this got him seriously wanting to buy a Tesla. And he also noted that, let's see, it was amazing that the survivors, that all the passengers survived. Both kids have already been released from the hospital with just minor injuries. So really impressive to see that. Some further reporting indicates that this may have been something that the driver did intentionally, which, you know, super sad, but really great to see that all those passengers survived, and, you know, really speaks to Tesla's safety and the quality of the vehicles. So good reminder in times like these of that aspect of Tesla. Next, we've got an update from South Korea. Tesla has been fined $2.2 million for exaggerating driving ranges for electric vehicles. Apparently, South Korea was not happy with Tesla not disclosing that vehicle range declines in the winter or in colder temperatures, which is just basic physics. So I don't know, I guess Tesla should just include some physics 101 pamphlets in their vehicles or something like that. I would be surprised if South Korea is making every single automotive manufacturer for ICE or EVs include some sort of disclaimer that your efficiency is affected at colder temperatures. But, you know, it is what it is. Tesla's been fined $2.2 million, which obviously quite a small fine, but still frustrating in terms of what it is being levied for. Next, then, an update on Tesla's deal with Piedmont Lithium. So this has been a story going back a couple of years now. They were supposed to have a deal for lithium out of Piedmont's facility in North Carolina that has not really come to fruition for a variety of different reasons for those that have followed that company closely. But Tesla, after having, I can't remember what the exact terminology is, but they sort of put like a stay on the deal. Looks like they have reached a new agreement, which will supply Tesla with lithium beginning, the end of this year. Will supply them from Quebec rather than from that North Carolina facility, which is obviously still in progress. So this is going to be for 125,000 tons of lithium spodumene, and it will start later this year. And instead of being a five-year contract like it was previously, it is now just 3 years. And it looks like they will be determining pricing sort of based off of averages for spot prices, which is pretty interesting and probably more beneficial to Piedmont than it would be for Tesla, because obviously we have seen spot prices be quite high. So, you know, it just kind of, again, speaks to the demand that there is for lithium right now. One good thing that, you know, if the automotive market is sort of in shambles, like it sort of appears to be heading into, especially on the EV side, it's going to make people more conservative, I think, with their EV plans. I think we've talked a little bit about some of those elements before, but in an environment like this, there's less appetite for risk. Aggressive EV growth plans are risky. You know, people are concerned about Tesla demand. What about all these other EV manufacturers? If they get to the level of supply that Tesla has, or the level of production that Tesla has, you know, they're going to be in a different story. They're going to be in that sort of storyline a lot sooner than where Tesla would be. So that could hopefully open up a little bit more supply in the EV market as those plans probably get curtailed here a little bit in this environment. So we'll see on that. And then the last thing today, just an update on Tesla Energy. Pretty exciting one here. Ney Owen, who has worked with Tesla on a number of battery projects in Australia, has announced that they are beginning construction of a 400 megawatt hour battery storage project in Queensland in Australia. So this will bring Ney Owen's energy storage up to about 1.3 gigawatt hours, which predominantly would be Tesla Energy megapacks. So will be cool to follow that one, and hopefully Ney Owen continues on that aggressive pace. I know Megapack right now, it looks like I think it's sold out for about 2 years. Q4 2024, I think, was the last update on that. So hopefully we get that Lathrop facility rolling here and start to see that really hitting Tesla's top line and bottom line here over the next few quarters. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the... Wednesday? Sorry. Everything's thrown off here with the holidays. But Wednesday, January 4th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.